Welcome to the Kinder Lights Podcast. It's all about raising the profile of early learning and celebrating wonderful kindergarten educators as they share stories of their highs, lows, and some of the wild fun in between. You'll hear unvarnished truths and advice about teaching in kindergarten learning spaces shared by educators who are lights of hope, joy, and love for their students. And now, here's your host, a man who spent the final 3 years of his 30-year career as a kindergarten teacher, Chris Quinn.
Hello and welcome to all Kinder Lights podcast listeners. I am so excited to be welcoming Susan Wright to the podcast. Susan is my fifth guest on our podcast, and she's living right here in Windsor, Ontario, in Canada. Susan brings a fresh perspective to raising and teaching children with a focus on the holistic well-being of children. Susan founded Nurtured Inspirations. She offers digital resources, courses, and consulting services. She loves to collaborate in pedagogical partnerships alongside parents, educators, educator teams, leaders, and directors who nurture, guide, and inspire children. Susan shares over three decades of professional and life experiences from travels in Canada, the U.S., and Italy, where she studies and practices early childhood theory, along with explorations in the Reggio Emilia approach and many other early years philosophies, an advocate for play, emergent learning, and everything childhood. Susan shares her everyday experiences as a consultant, teacher, researcher, mentor, co-learner, and thinking partner. Susan's philosophy of childhood has evolved into the Nurtured Inspirations approach, where she inspires everyday play, mindfulness, art, and nature to those who share their days with children. I'll add Susan's contact information to the show notes, but right now, I am truly delighted to welcome Susan Wright to the Kinder Lights podcast.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so grateful to be here.
Okay, we'll get started. And just to give our listeners an overview, the format for our discussion is driven by our LIGHTS acronym, with each letter referencing something from the educator's early years or kindergarten experiences. So Susan, let's begin with L for laugh. Could be a humorous moment or something that has made you smile in your experience.
This one makes me smile. It's actually one that our family still jokes about. This was early in my career, seriously trying to get this little guy to understand a mathematical concept. And I had all the manipulatives that I thought could be helpful to him. And we were working on something together. And I was really trying to understand his thinking. We were doing a team teaching thing, so I had pulled him off to the side and I was trying to show another perspective. I can see him looking at me, he's looking up at my face, and I'm showing him and pointing to all the things and moving the manipulatives. And I'm thinking, oh, there's something going on. He's made a connection. And he tilts his head to the side and he said, "Miss, you have a really big forehead." And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Nobody heard anything there. It was so funny. We still joke about it. My whole family laughs about it. And I was so serious in that moment. My goodness.
Oh, Susan, that is so funny. What a great way to start. And you know what? The amazing thing about young children is they don't hold a lot back.
No, they don't. Not at all.
I mean, they'll tell you like it is, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever is staring them in the face. One of the things I most appreciate about educators, and in particular the way you describe that, you explain that story, you gave that child the opportunity to think. You just listened and you watched, you observed. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the most amazing thing about early childhood learning. Giving our children those opportunities to be able to think and to express whatever they need to express in the moment.
Yeah. And, you know, I was early in my career, so I was doing a lot of the manipulation of the material. So he was probably bored with that, thinking, oh, she's a little more interesting. Let's look at her. Oh, wow, that's a big forehead.
Speaking of interest, our second letter in our acronym is I. So what I'm going to invite you to do here is share something that interests you most about early learning.
That whole listening piece and digging deeper into what children are thinking, what they're understanding, how they're making connections, and maybe where they're missing something along the way. And the other piece of that is being a thinking partner alongside children, because I think they bring so much to our conversations and to our own evolution as educators by sharing what they know, what they think, what they hypothesize, and what they're wondering about. All of their questions are so activating in that they bring us to a new place of conversation and wonder. And I really love that piece. And I think that understanding that allows us to understand who they are as human beings as well. So we're capturing their brilliance as thinkers, we're capturing their brilliance as human beings. So when we practice what, you know, in the Reggio Emilia approach, we talk about the pedagogy of listening. So that piece where we listen really well and we try to understand.
That term you used about thinking partner, I think it's really important as educators to understand that children can be our partners in learning. I often learn alongside the children I work with, as much as I hope they might alongside me and or with other children in the classroom. But that idea of, you know, who they are as human beings and eliciting that from them by really listening with intent, really wanting to understand what it is they're thinking, how they're feeling, and what they're able to express when we give them the time, when we give them the opportunity, and we give them the support that they need.
It's empowering, isn't it? It's empowering.
Truly it is. And hopefully as much for them as it is for us.
Yes, it is. It's a two-way empowerment. And I think the other thing that it does there is it tells them that they are important and they're valuable, and that what they have to say really makes a difference in the world. And so we're creating this meaningful connection. We're helping them understand their own purpose on this planet and that they have something to give to other people. And what they bring often elicits a whole pathway of conversation or exploration.
To know you're valued is, you know, really hits to the core of who we are mm-hmm. and who we want to be as human beings. So being able to help them understand that and experience it, that especially early in those early years, is so critically important to building that foundation, mm-hmm. getting them to begin to understand who they are becoming.
Mm-hmm. And that also that piece of, we talk about becoming, we also talk about unbecoming. And I think for us as educators, there is this magic that happens when we reconsider our own perspective. And we talk about this idea of getting out of our own river of thinking to consider a perspective that's not our own. And so how powerful is that for children to say, oh my gosh, my teacher reconsidered a thought because of something I said. And I often say, hey, I hadn't thought of that before. Let me think on that a little bit. And then I always go back to them and speak with them about it, maybe in the moment or maybe later. I think making a point of noticing that they brought forward a really valuable and important thought that made someone else rethink their place.
Such powerful learning opportunities. We're going to change perspective just a little bit right now.
Okay.
So as we think about the G in the acronym, this is a gaffe or a gasp. So it could be, from your perspective, a personal blunder of your own. It could be a shocking moment, something you saw or experienced with students. I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, this one's about me. I was thinking about a time when I started recording myself, and a lot of my work I do is pedagogical documentation. So that is basically just documenting what I think I'm seeing. And the pedagogical part is taking my theory of education and what I know about child development and just thinking around what I've observed and recorded to try and understand it better. And I remember early in my career, this was a huge risk for me to record myself speaking. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, when I listened back, that's horrible. All I did was talk through the child. I remember being in that place early on in my career. And then later when I became a researcher through the Ministry of Education, through an initiative that was running through our school boards in Ontario. And I started out as a host teacher and then later became the lead researcher for that, working with host teachers to do research about how children think and learn. And I remember even years later, having had that experience early on in my career, recording myself and being horrified, coming back to this role and still being horrified that I still was talking too much and wasn't holding space for silence. But it was also a really powerful place for me to sort of rethink how I was doing things and reframe how did that feel for me and why was it bothering me. Out of something that was horrifying came something wonderful where I really value that space for silence.
I have found in my experience, and I really appreciate what you just said about recording ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I know there's risk in that. I know that that can be very difficult. Yeah. But in teachers that I've worked with over the years, and they've often reflected this back to me and said that some of the greatest professional learning that I have done as an educator is when I have taken the step to be able to not only record myself, but to be able to then look at that and reflect on it and learn from it as an educator. Because the neat thing is we're documenting, as you said, as especially as early years educators, we're documenting all the time, the whole idea of pedagogical documentation. And we're observing, we're making notes, and then we're going back and we're looking at all this and we're reflecting on it. It can tell us as much about the child or the children in front of us as it can tell us about us as educators.
Absolutely. I love that too.
And what I came to realize very late in my career is that, yes, curriculum needs to drive what we do, but equally as important, it's what the student shares, what the student needs that needs to be guiding what happens in our classrooms with our students. And so, mm-hmm. you know, holding that space mm-hmm. for silence.
And in our lives too, Chris.
Good point.
I think a lot of this carries into our life.
Yes, absolutely. Now we're going to move on to H. And H is a particular highlight that stands out from your experience as an educator.
This one I'll just touch on really quickly, but my travels to Reggio Emilia, Italy was a highlight. And what I carried back from that experience and then put into practice in my own space just changed so much for me. And I was already doing a lot of what I saw there. It was an acknowledgement of, hey, I am kind of on the right track here. When I traveled there, I saw all of these wonderful things. But there was this other extension and enhancement that happened, this deeper understanding and this deeper need for diving in deeper. So Reggio Emilia, for me, that trip was just a highlight.
So was the affirmation perhaps one of your greatest learnings from that experience?
When I went to Reggio Emilia, I learned that what I was doing to understand and guide learning through exploration, inquiry, play, connection with one another, relationships. These are all the biggest pieces, and these fit so beautifully in our education system. And I think we can even carry that through all the way up through the grades, and some schools do that. And some, I know of some private schools that have that as their whole approach. So it was just a reaffirmation of what I believed, and then gave me all kinds of inspiration to continue that forward.
Wonderful that you had that opportunity, and great that the learning from that and the affirmation made such a difference for you. Okay, so we're getting close to the end of our acronym. So T stands for tip. So any words of advice you'd like to offer our listeners?
Sure. I'm thinking about the word grace. And I think if we give ourselves grace, we give other people grace. We give our children, our parents, our families grace, our colleagues grace. We can go a long way, and that really does shift how we are living as human beings. And if we are kind to ourselves with that grace that we give, we give that out easier to other people as well.
Probably even more necessary now than ever before, in light of the stresses related to this pandemic.
Absolutely.
You know, that we're patient with ourselves mm-hmm. and with each other in terms of what we share and say. So thank you for that. So the last letter of our acronym is S, a saying or a quote that really has spoken to you, that inspires you.
This is a poem written by Loris Malaguzzi. He was the founder of the Reggio Emilia approach. And I'm just going to read a little part of it. It's called No Way, the 100 is There. The child is made of 100. The child has 100 languages, 100 hands, 100 thoughts, 100 ways of thinking, of playing, of speaking. 100, always 100 ways of listening, of marveling, of loving. 100 joys for singing and understanding. 100 worlds to discover. 100 worlds to invent. 100 worlds to dream. And to me, that part of the poem, the whole entire poem, speaks to this idea of humanity. It's not just about children. We could substitute the word people or all humans. And I think this really speaks so beautifully to a way of respect and a way of listening to everyone's 100 more languages, their brilliance, their talents, their ideas.
I know 100 is finite, but when you shared that, what came to mind for me was infinite possibilities.
Absolutely.
In terms of our learning, our students' learning, what we share and how we grow, and as you say, as human beings. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we conclude our time together?
I'm really glad you enjoyed that, Chris. Thank you for making that comment. That is a poem that really resonates with me. In terms of reaching out, I love to reach out with people. So feel free to visit my website, nurturedinspirations.com. And there you can get my free monthly subscription. It's called Inspirations. And it really is just something to your inbox that gives you some inspiration to some thoughts, some questions, some ideas, some helpful resources. And it's free. So I would love for you to join my community there. And certainly you can join my community on Facebook. I have a group under Nurtured Inspirations. It is private, so it's really nice because we can share things and it kind of is a space where we can just keep our positive thinking in that group and share with one another and just connect with what we're doing along our learning journey with children, our life journey with children.
I know that free, good quality resources are always greatly appreciated by educators. So thank you for that. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Susan.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have to tell you, it's been a blessing to engage in this conversation with you and also to listen to some truly amazing experiences from you as a leader, but also a companion on the journey of early learning.
Thank you.
I wish you well as the year continues. And as you continue your journey in our world of education.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure, and I've really enjoyed speaking with you too. I hope we can do it again.
This has been our February episode of the Kinder Lights podcast. Please plan to listen with us again at the beginning of March as I talk with an early learning educator leader based in Huddersfield, England. The Kinder Lights podcast can be accessed on my webpage, google.com/view/grateful.edu64. It's also available through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. I can be reached on Twitter at ChrisQuinn64 and or GratefulEDU64. I'm also accessible through Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Kinder Lights podcast. Please continue to be a light of hope and kindness, especially for those who need it most.